Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Do appreciate you tuning in and joining us this morning. Actually, we'll even take calls today if you have ideas about the playoffs. We're talking football playoffs today, as well as probably a host of other items. I'm joined by...
The one-hour daily fantasy special.
We are not doing the one-hour daily fantasy special. If you folks want their fantasy stuff, they can watch ESPN and that kind of bit. So what is your if you want to, we'll talk a little fantasy. I'll talk fantasy right now. The way I'm going to talk fantasy though is anybody going to get paid by the DraftKings and FanDuels?
I think so.
Event, or are they going to become the Black Thursday or like whatever happened to poker?
I'd say as soon as the season's done, I'd cash out because I think before the season's over, though.
Yeah, I think it'd be time to cash out just as soon as possible because it's just a the government regulation may cause real problems.
Coming. I think a few bad seeds probably ruined it for everyone else.
Few bad seeds. What, you mean like the people who actually work with the companies?
Yeah,
the ones who actually work there.
I'm not sure what they did was actually wrong, but it brought enough attention to it that they're going to assume it was.
Yeah, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't even introduce him.
Sorry.
It is from the Wayne County Press, the sports writer, Mr. Brian Wees-Turner, joining me today. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate you.
I would like to think I've been on here enough, though, that the voice might be recognizable.
Well, yeah, you got a point. You have a good point. But
I'd like to think that, but it's probably not true.
Then again, there's probably new listeners who have turned in to listen to you expound on some kind of wisdom that you might end up having. Good
expound.
Luck. Good
I think
luck.
My belly
with
did that in college.
We were talking about a blevy earlier in the show. I don't know if
that's
you know
a
what
new
that,
one.
Yeah, it's actually very descriptive.
Is that like a pack of wolves or no, a blevy?
A blevy. A blevy is like a.
Is that something you get? You go to the
boiling
to the hospital.
Liquid expansion vapor explosion.
So yeah, you do want to go to the hospital. If you get that.
Yeah, it's a fire, but it's a type of fire, but yeah, but it can be.
I did hear Lynn talking about his Halloween costume earlier this morning.
Which one was that?
Didn't need that right after breakfast.
No kidding. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly. A lot of people probably turning away from their Cheerios this morning.
I just hope no one had Greek yogurt.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you see, that's the thing. There's a great question. Animal House was released 38 years ago, 1977.
Yeah, it's my age, basically.
Do the kids today, or do they recognize the jokes from Animal House? Because, I mean, his Halloween costume is an Animal House joke. Do the kids today, at what age level do kids no longer recognize the classic jokes or classic movies from the past?
I'd say early 20s and younger, the kids that would know Animal House are the exception, not the rule.
Yeah. And Caddyshack, for instance, same kind of time frame.
Probably even less so.
You think so?
I think Animal House is a little more popular than Caddyshack as far as withholding through time.
Well, that makes it really also kind of makes you wonder which one gets played more on your HBOs and Cinemaxes. And I, you know, there's a way probably you could tell who gets picked up more on Netflix. Animal House.
You could do that.
Do they have whenever you're on Netflix, do they have like the total number of usages for each movie or something like that?
I think you can go look for it. I haven't done that in forever. Like you used to have like a top 100.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen that in probably 3 or 4 years.
Huh.
I may have been one of the first 3 or 4 dozen Netflix accounts. I mean, I signed up and I still live in Mattoon. I moved from there in 2003.
So you stuck with it.
Yeah.
See, I had Netflix very early, too, whenever they were shipping back and forth the CD, the disc.
Back when they had one warehouse for the whole nation.
That's right. Yeah, I was on it, but I let it go 7 or 8, 9 years ago. But, yeah, that's so you stuck with them all that time?
Yep. Do the Netflix Instant more than anything now.
Do they give you, like, are you free? Are you a free
Legacy.
Yeah, legacy customer.
I think I probably should be at this point. But
Charter member? Like,
and I still do the DVD option, too.
Do you really?
Yeah. Because it's an extra $3 or $4 a month. I just do one DVD with the Instant and then just get one. Because there's a lot of, actually, more than anything, concerts and stuff that I get on the DVDs.
Well, yeah, there's also extra stuff on the DVDs that you don't get in the
so
movie.
So I still get one disc at a time.
Okay. How did we get on that?
I have no idea.
We were going to talk football.
We were?
I play it too. Did you see? Did you see the football last night?
Watched a little bit of it.
What'd you think of? You know,
I think I saw the end of the second quarter, and that was it.
The Miami Dolphins were supposed to be the second coming. Now that with the new coach and everything,
people kind of forget who they were playing the last couple of weeks. The Texans and was it the Colts?
No,
sorry, Jamie.
It wasn't the. I don't think it was the Colts.
It was someone else, pretty bad.
Yeah, like the Jaguars or somebody like that.
I think
that.
It may have been. Yeah. Yes, it was.
And they knocked
the Florida battle.
Knocked the tar out of those two teams before last night running into a real football team. That's even how no matter how distasteful it is, you kind of do have to
acknowledge excellence.
Acknowledge.
Even when the excellence wasn't earned.
That's exactly right. As the New England cheater Patriots knocked off, and they didn't have to cheat. That's the other thing. You know, we've talked Deflategate to death. The awful thing about it, they were going to beat Indianapolis that day anyway, whether they had deflated footballs or not.
Footballs had nothing to do with it, but it was the need to cheat. I've started rewatching Star Wars here with the new one coming out. I'm just going to rewatch all of them, try to get into some of the Clone Wars stuff, and I'm still pretty sure
are you going...
Bill Belichick is a Sith Lord.
Is that the dude with the double?
That's all. Well, there's the Sith are basically all the Darths and the. You know,
oh, okay.
Yeah, is the layman's way to say that.
All right. So have you
the bad guys?
Have you started as Phantom Menace first?
No, I started with. I'm doing the order of release.
Oh, okay. You're not going to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You're doing 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3.
Yep.
Oh, okay. All right. See, now that seems to me to be probably to make more sense chronologically. But if you're fantasy people, they would think that you're some kind of heretic doing it that way.
I never really got into Star Wars as a kid, so I'm kind of wanting to do it. I mean, I've seen them all.
Came
obviously.
Out the same year, say, as Animal House.
Yeah, I mean, I guarantee I've seen Animal House a lot more than I've seen Star Wars.
Oh, okay. Well, you see, now that's the thing. Star Wars is, well, I'm surprised by that, but it also tells you a lot about your upbringing.
Thanks, Dad.
I would thank my dad for that. To tell you the truth, I would thank my dad a lot.
Actually, that might be my aunt and uncle because they had HBO back then.
Okay.
That's back when having HBO was still a big thing.
I still have it. That's exactly right. It's still a big thing. But anyway, let's talk before we get out of here on the first segment of volleyball. Let's talk about the Cisne. They what seed are they in the in that set?
They were the 2 seed in the regional,
and they defeated South Central was the one, right?
Yes, which they didn't see them in the regular season, didn't, and I hadn't seen South Central all season too, so wasn't quite sure how good they were going
to
be.
You go over there to it?
Yes,
watch?
I did.
Tell me about it.
Sisney started pretty rough, got down a few points early in but played really well first set. After that, won pretty easily. Lull in the second set, let them get back, take that, and then turn it back on third set.
That seems to happen in volleyball, doesn't it?
Third straight regional championship for them.
That seems to happen in volleyball quite a bit. Whenever they'll have a good, strong first set like that, second set they kind of sit on their haunches a little bit.
I've become one of those guys that swears momentum doesn't exist in sports. High school volleyball is the biggest test of that theory.
Is that right?
Yes. Because it is a lot. And it's, I don't say momentum, but you get in rotations.
You get rally scoring.
You can pick on someone and, always serve with them. Or,
yeah.
Or serve at a setter if they don't have another setter, so she can't be the set. You can get in.
So she can't be the middle person.
Matchups. Yeah. So it looks like momentum when you have, trading 5 and 6 point runs. But because I've become a Bill Barnwell disciple as far as momentum doesn't exist.
Really?
It exists until it doesn't.
I got to tell you, if I'm a New York Mets fan, I'm thinking momentum existed in Kansas City the other night whenever they started getting all those base hits at the same time.
Momentum and lack of your 100-mile-an-hour fastballs.
That would do it. That would do it, too. So this is third in a row for Cisne, huh?
Yes, it was. This is for years. How long did we talk about Cisne's never won a regional championship in anything?
Since you've been here.
Yeah, I mean.
Until 3 years ago.
And, the 2008, they got I think it was 2008, softball regional.
Okay.
Tommy Newman's group with Samantha Gill pitching in that group. And then now they've had 3 in a row in volleyball.
Well, that's just
still four. I mean, 4 ever, but 3 in a row in this sport.
That's, that's the thing. And that's a thrill. Those kids are going to have a lot of fun. They're going down. Those seniors have won 3.
They're actually going to the sectional as the experienced group now.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Who they end up? Who they draw? I'm trying to remember. I had it down.
And let's see. You got Clay Cities in that one. Metro East Lutheran, and it was some Christ Our Rock.
Clay City ended up beating Oblong.
Yes, they did.
Okay, well, they,
I believe that was in three as well.
That that game, they never put the score up until about, I don't know when they put it up because I'd already gone to bed. I kept checking and checking and checking.
I got a text from Smitty last night, so.
Well, they aren't playing Clay City.
They're playing Christ Our Rock, who's a team they beat early in the year.
Well, you know, and they in Clay City, though, they've had battles.
Yeah, they played, I want to say, four times. They beat them first game of the year.
Yeah.
Maybe three. But then they lost to them. They split their home games and then lost to them in the MTC tournament.
Right.
But they've all been some pretty good games. Yeah, beat Christ Our Rock 25-17, 22-25, 25-21 back on September 14th in Sisney.
So what you're saying is there's a chance.
There's a chance.
There's a chance. That's all you're asking for. I've got Brian Weiss-Turner here on the Bruce Dickey Show. We're going to come back, talk a little bit more high school sports, maybe talk a little bit more NFL, and you never know what college football might pop up. The kid likes USC, for crying out loud. We'll be back after
Coachless
this.
USC.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to WFIW AM and FM, 104.9 on FM, AM 1390. This is the Bruce Dickey Show. Appreciate you tuning in. You were saying?
How many times have you seen Alejandro now?
In person?
Yes.
Just once.
He's near the top of the need-to-see list.
I saw Alejandro Escovedo and Joe Ely together.
That'd be nice.
They had it was an acoustic night.
Okay. You know, like one of those songwriter trading songs back.
Songwriter trading songs back with a gal playing a fiddle between them. So one of them would play with the fiddle gal and the other would play with the fiddle gal, and they played the last two or three songs together.
That would not suck.
It was really cool. Well, actually they played together, but only one of them would sing most of the time. The other one was always accompanying. Yeah. Accompanying. Playing along with.
Yes.
This is the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390. Like I said, I got Weeze sitting in, Brian Weiss-Turner of the Wayne County Press. And, you know, we said we guaranteed people we were going to talk about the football playoffs. We probably had better begin thinking about doing that. Boys football playoffs start tomorrow. Actually, start tonight with Roxana plays tonight. And the winner of that game plays the Mules.
There's a few games. I haven't even looked at was it Roxana and... I didn't look that far ahead. I don't want to jinx it.
That's probably not a bad idea. Roxana plays at Carlinville tonight at 7:30 p.m. The winner of that game will play the winner of the Fairfield Mules versus St. Joe Ogden game. That is tomorrow at 2 o'clock, and that is in boys 3A football. Do you want to save the Mules for later? Let's go ahead and talk about the Mules.
Do it whenever you want.
How about that? Mules get into the – they get in – they didn't know if they were going to get into the playoffs, thought they might, didn't know for sure, and they finally do get the word Saturday night. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I spent most of the year thinking if they did go 5-4, wasn't going to get in.
Yeah.
Because of the open schedule this year, the 1 year or 2 years of open schedule in the BDC. About week, probably 7 or so, they started to figure out playoff points are going to be really low this year.
How did the playoff points get so low?
There is no middle.
There are people – oh, is that right? I didn't know if there were if folks were playing more teams from out of state or something, or
there is no middle. I mean, you got a bunch of really good teams and then a bunch of really bad teams.
And that's not just in the Black Diamond.
Especially in the Black Diamond, but not just, yes. And we were one, you know, there weren't a whole lot of 5-4 teams that didn't get in.
Yeah. Well, there were a bunch of surprising teams that usually get in that didn't. Mount Carmel.
Yeah.
You know, that they've got to be just kvetching over there and thrashing of clothing and that kind of stuff.
And then I had several people ask me, when's the last time Mount Carmel didn't make it? They didn't in like 2008. Other than that, it had been 20, 30 years.
Benton has not been in since 2012, since that big year they had. And,
yeah.
And I was kind of surprised by that. Of course, they play a pretty tough non-conference, too.
Yes, they do.
DuCoyne gets back in this year, right?
Yes. Snuck in at 5-4.
Looking at DuCoyne, that gets
the... Alvarado is in the playoffs.
Alvarado gets in? How about
I still call him the Alvarado DuCoyne co-op. Just because I can.
I got to tell you, I bet you people from DuCoyne would not appreciate that.
I put that in the paper a few times, too. Alvarado DuCoyne.
No kidding.
Yes.
You know, you need to put that in whenever you do your little stringing for the Southern Illinois. Yeah, put that in the Southern, see if an editor catches that.
I got to do that again this week, too. So.
You stringing the cover in Fairfield?
Yep.
Okay,
and we do week 1 and week 10 this year.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
They've cut their coverage back quite a bit.
Class 3A, there's not too many Southern Illinois teams in. It's Fairfield and DuCoyne, and that's pretty much it.
A lot of 2A.
Is that right? Everybody got small.
Around here is 2A, yeah.
Well, all the Black Diamond. I was kind of surprised that the River to River guys went 4 for the most part, right? Other than DuCoyne.
River's mostly been 4, though.
Is that
except
right?
For DuCoyne. I mean,
DuCoyne and Heron, I guess. Or not DuCoyne. Murfreesboro and Heron.
That's Murphy being a little bigger, and they've had a couple of good years there at Murfreesboro, too.
Let's go talk about Fairfield. The Mules playing the St. Joe Ogden Spartans. What do you know?
Has St. Joe ever done anything in football?
I've never heard of St. Joe. Where is this? This is a new town.
We wish.
Yeah, no kidding. St. Joe Ogden Mules played up there, what, 11 years ago?
2004.
Yeah, that was fun.
Scored a touchdown.
That's right.
Got
one. The first team that year.
First score on their first team defense.
Right.
They'd had a running clock game. I think they gave up I want to say it was like a 58-6 game against an 0-8 team.
That's 11 years ago.
Yeah.
And
We were the first touchdown on their first team D that year.
Did they end up winning state that year? I'm trying to think. I don't think they did.
No, they haven't won state with Coach Duvall.
Oh, okay.
He's been runner-up 4 times.
And this is his final year, right?
28th and final year there, and they've been playoffs every year.
So they are you serious? So this is a dynasty.
Actually, that 2004, I was looking at that yesterday. You know what our enrollment was 2004?
450 kids.
512.
No kidding. So yeah. We've lost 100 kids in 11 years.
Because we're up from the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And we've lost 20% of our enrollment in a decade.
How was St. Joe hasn't been gaining, which kind of surprises me. They're a bedroom community for
Champaign,
Urbana.
Yeah, for folks that don't know, it's just east of Champaign.
Yeah. It'll be a fun drive. It's just east of between Champaign and Danville, and where the wind does come whipping off the plane.
That's what I was actually reading the weather earlier, and I was like, can we trade today for tomorrow?
That'd be nice.
They're talking. I just looked this morning. 60% chance of rain at game time, and that's down from 90. What they've been saying the last couple of days.
Oh.
So let's hope it keeps trending that way.
Well, let's keep it going that direction. The Mules. I know that talking with Coach Townsend, they're getting a little bit healthier, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Of course, Colton Land, Wyatt Bora, both out last week. Ryan Estheimer didn't finish the game last week with some shoulder. He's had shoulder pain. He hadn't had a healthy year yet in high school football, but
really,
but Colton's still not practicing. I think they're going to try to test it today. Ankle injury, did that at El Dorado 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
and then aggravated it against Cesar. And then
what
set
was
out
the
last
original
week.
Injury? I don't. I mean, I guess it was a sprained ankle somehow. But he step on something.
The easy way for most people would be it's similar to a high ankle. Is the easiest way to do it.
Did he get twisted going down, I guess?
Yeah, on the side. It was actually the Price kid tackled him on the sideline, and it just twisted just right. Mm. It was on right in front of our sideline.
Okay. Whenever he came up limping, we were 75 yards away, couldn't really see it. But.
Price is the one that tackled him, and he wound up being the one that
took his rushing title.
Passed him in the week that Colton set out.
Yeah, well, what do you do?
Then Bora has cleared all the protocols for – head injury.
So Fairfield at 5-4 versus the number one St. Joe Ogden, number one seed in the bottom half of the state. But also, if you pay attention to the Associated Press, which you pretty much have to.
I don't anymore.
You don't anymore?
Not an AP voter anymore.
Really?
We don't subscribe to the Associated Press.
Oh, okay.
I used to be.
AP, they're number one in the state.
Yes.
I'm going to ask, and we're not going to make predictions on this one, but what does Fairfield have to do right to win this game?
Get some turnovers and contain. They're not going to stop the offense, but try to contain it. Try to keep them in front of them, and they can probably make them one-dimensional. They are a pretty balanced team. Senior quarterback, old team, 1,100 yards, 18 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Oh.
That's the thing, is they don't turn the ball over in the air.
18 touchdowns and 2 picks.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. 87 of 151 for 1,147 was his numbers on the year.
You know, that's not a great number. That's 60%, or close to, a little under 60%. It's pretty good for, pretty and solid for high school.
I watched a little bit of the highlight videos. I haven't seen actual film, but the highlight videos, that does look like they throw a lot of screens, which will pump up the completion percentage.
Well, in 157 throws, they're going about 16, 17 a game. That's quite a bit. I would expect more runs, but
that's a lot of games where they're throwing early, and then, because they're getting up big. They didn't have a whole lot of very many close games at all.
Yeah, you look at their schedule, they had quite a bit of their out-of-conference was not terrifically strong, it looked like.
No, it wasn't. Well, they played 4 teams with winning records. But most of those, you know, Winnebago finished 5-4. They smoked them. Monticello was 8-1. They beat them 26-7.
That was that's a conference game, right?
Maroa Forsyth was 28-8. That's a 7-2 team. I mean, they
don't
get a
whole
lot.
Maroa Forsyth is pretty.
They're a pretty solid.
They
team.
Dropped to 2A, right? As I recall,
I believe so. Yeah. And then Tolona Unity is their rival. They beat them 34-14. Unity's usually a pretty good ball team.
Unity's usually a pretty good ball team. They beat them how much?
34-14.
Unity played in. Didn't Unity play a Black Diamond this year?
Unity, would have been one of the bottom ones.
Unity crushed somebody, I was thinking. I'm not sure. I'd have to check. But yeah, that's a Fairfield's. Yeah, I mean, they're driving. They're not driving up there to lose. You got a chance.
But, I mean, you always go in. We've had this before, and we've been competitive.
That's right.
We've played some of the top teams before and played them pretty well.
Played competitively. You got a chance to win. Yeah, anything can happen on Saturday afternoons.
We joke about wanting sunshine tomorrow. We may want rain tomorrow.
Yeah. The rain might really affect their passing game.
Weird
the
mules, tend to happen.
The Mules don't depend on passing like it sounds like St. Joe does.
Say, I don't know about depend, but I mean they're more multidimensional. Yes, and I think they're gonna. The senior running back Ty Brown's ran for 1,300 yards and 17 touchdowns. Pretty similar numbers to what Colton's done.
Yeah,
against a little bit tougher schedule. So
right. Let's take a look at Class 2A, if you want to change your computer to that. Class 2A has pretty much the rest of the Black Diamond Conference teams that advanced, even though Johnston City was close to getting into 1A. They did get into 2A. And when you look at it, El Dorado wins the Black Diamond. They end up with a number 2 seed. Talking with the coaches last night, El Dorado did not get a very good draw.
No, they got a pretty tough 5-4 Athens team.
Athens is, and they said that they were having, Athens was having a bunch of kids come back too, kind of like Staunton, right?
I believe so, yeah. I think they switched up some stuff system-wise about middle of the year and kind of took off after that. So, you know, at least they feel that way.
You know, it's surprising that you see that. You'll see that more often nowadays, I think, than you used to. Teams switching in the middle of the year, switching a style.
They say that. They've lost 3 of their last 5, but, you know, high school football, it's usually about who you're playing. And that those 3 losses were Leroy, who beat Tremont, North Mac, who's really good this year.
Yeah.
And that was a possibility for our draw.
Yeah.
I believe we mentioned them. Actually, I think we talked about them in the preview show.
Right.
They played Chester.
Right.
Chester hung with them first half. North Mac had quite a few turnovers there in the first half. Made the score a little closer than it probably would have been if you take away the turnovers. And then, let's see, they beat Williamsville, who's usually pretty good.
Williamsville ended up 8-1, right, or something?
5-4 this year.
5-4, okay. They are down.
They're usually a pretty good program.
Well, you know, that's the thing. If you're picking, let's pick these Class 2A, some of these games. The El Dorado versus Athens at El Dorado. Tomorrow afternoon at 2:00, they're probably looking at the same kind of weather we are.
Yeah, they are.
And the Peyton Price is a star. He's a good player. He's just a junior, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's going to be a
real. Of course,
real...
if it's raining, you know, Trey Vessel, you know, he's a mutter.
Yeah,
a big full, you know, lineman turned fullback.
Will El Dorado be able to get by? I mean, El Dorado, they're tested. The last two games, El Dorado has had real tough games, and they have won them at the end.
I'm saying El Dorado 34-28.
You're going to give Athens that much, huh?
Yeah.
Not me. They're traveling down there, Saline County. Bad things. I bet you that
they're coming off 36 and 50 point games.
Greg Goodley's going out right now and looking for officials.
That is entirely possible. It is the day before a game.
That's exactly right. It's the day before a game. Coach Goodley's heading out right now. He's going into some of the Harrisburg establishments. He's looking for officials for tomorrow's game, and we'll see what. I'm going to
pretty sure Gary Moore's already booked.
Is Gary Moore booked? I think he is too. Yeah, the book cruise is gone. I'm gonna take El Dorado by a chunk. I'm gonna go El Dorado. If I'm picking a score, let's go 30. I'm gonna give him 40. 40 to 17, 16.
I'd take
40
it.
40 to 16.
BDC needs some wins this year.
BDC does need some wins, which brings you to the other BDC teams. Johnston City is number 13, and they have to travel up to Villa Grove. Johnston City even has a farther drive than the Mules, probably, I would think, to get up to Villa Grove.
Yeah, because Villa Grove and St. Joe aren't too far apart, and they're way further south.
Yeah, Villa Grove is up between Charleston and Urbana.
Yes.
On 130. And
used to cover them on radio.
Did you really?
Kind of. We did rotating games. We didn't follow one specific team. It did more Oakland games when I was there than anyone because they were number one in the state for a couple
years. Yeah, is Oakland still – are they still by themselves or did they
I think
join
they're
a co-op
now.
Who did they co-op with?
That I couldn't tell you because it's been 12, 13 years since I've been up there.
Yeah. Johnston City versus Villa Grove. Villa Grove's 8-1. JC on the road at 6-3. It'll be fun to watch the kicker kick. Yeah. If you're Johnston City.
he's a weapon. And, I mean, he had a game against us last week.
He had one of those.
Scored every point. Led him in tackles.
The kid scored 26 points. It was his Heisman game.
Yeah.
That was the game you say he wins the Heisman Trophy, Nico Goldoni.
That's what they always talk about, Oscar episodes. You know, you submit this one for your Oscar.
Goldoni kicked a 40-yarder. It would have been good from 45 or 50.
Actually,
field goal.
And that was after the 5-yard penalty, so
yeah.
We might have found that out.
Yeah. He kicked a 35-yarder and then had a couple of extra points and had three touchdowns.
Three rushing touchdowns. And threw for one, they got called back.
And that's right. And the only reason that he didn't get the extra point, the third extra point, is they went for two for some
and missed
unknown reason. Well, I don't know. I'm still picking Villa Grove.
I am too. 35-20.
At Villa Grove, I'm not even going to give them 20 points. Let's go with I'm going to go same score, 40-16. I'm going to go Villa Grove over Johnson City.
Say Villa Grove, their schedule wasn't. I mean, everyone talks about tries to knock the BDC. Their schedule wasn't that great either.
Really?
I mean, that's a weak conference there. Where Cumberland was the number two team in their conference. I've talked to people from that area. They say Cumberland wasn't that good.
Is that right?
Yeah.
We've got another game or two we're going to talk about in the playoffs. Then we'll probably skip around to the NFL and who knows what else. You're listening to Bruce Dickey. My guest is Brian Turner, Wheeze from the Wayne County Press. And we'll be back here on the Bruce Dickey Show after these.
I'd love to stick around and maybe make it worse.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 at WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. We're doing a little bit of a football sports show today, mainly football, but I forgot to mention, I got a text from a friend who reminded me that that the cross-country sectional is tomorrow.
Also tomorrow, yes.
Also tomorrow, and Fairfield doing very well in cross-country in both boys and girls, aren't they, Weez?
Girls got second at the regional Saturday down at Harrisburg, and then the boys got fourth. Had, I think, three top 10 finishes overall.
I wonder how often that has happened, that a school gets both teams. I bet you it happens more often than you would think.
It's here the last few years, yeah. And our boys
you
were
usually have the same
champions.
Coach, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, not a whole lot of teams around here will have two cross country coaches.
Who's the who ended up winning the cross country regionals? Like Hamilton
Heron.
County was it Heron?
Heron dropped down from 2A to 1A this year.
Oh, okay,
and they're pretty solid team. That Coach Sanders thinks they could be top 10 at state.
Does it now? Though both the boys and the girls will be running the same course, just at different
yes.
times next Saturday.
Girls run at
tomorrow, right?
Girls run at 9 o'clock. Boys at 9:45, I believe. Which means I'm going to have to miss it this year. I was able to make it last year, but it always depends on where our playoff game goes, whether or not I can make it.
I say, if I was running with the girls, they'd have to clear the course before. I wouldn't be done by now.
Well, they always send the razor behind at the end. You just hop on in.
That's good.
Halfway through.
That'd be a good thing. That's going to need that. Like I said, I've got Brian Weiss-Turner in here from the Wayne County Press, and we were going to talk about one more football game, one more preview, one more game tomorrow from the Black Diamond, and that is Chester tomorrow is at home playing the Lawrenceville Indians. That looks like to me the game of the day.
That's the one I'd like to go to if the Mules weren't playing.
Yeah.
So of course got some Lawrenceville ties, having you know the girlfriend just moving from
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
So I know quite a few of those players and some of the parents. And, of course, you know, followed Chester the last several years. I'd like to be at that one if I could.
Well, and it really sets up as a pretty fun matchup because the Lawrenceville Indians play with speed. That's a speed team this year. Has been, anyway.
Run that wing tee.
And Chester, on the other hand, they just find a way to win. It seems like, I mean, they can either throw to Burner or hand it to Burner or let him take do the little Wildcats.
So he's going to SIU for a reason.
Yeah.
I saw someone this morning on IHSS say something about seeing 100 kids better than him this year or something. I'm like, no, you haven't.
That's impossible. it would be the kid leaves an impression.
Yeah,
probably on your mind. And
you look at
your,
the numbers.
And
the numbers aren't that great because I mean, but he's does a little bit of everything.
Yeah,
but I did that BDC leaderboard this year. He wasn't top 10 in passing.
I was surprised he wasn't top 10 in receiving.
Wasn't top 10 in rushing. He snuck into the top 10 in receiving in week 9. He had 100 yards receiving last week, so he made like number 8. And his tackle numbers were actually down this year because the defense around him was better. He's had some just otherworldly tackle numbers.
Yeah.
Starting with his sophomore year. Pretty good numbers his freshman year.
Yeah.
Otherworldly sophomore and junior. This year they actually dipped because the defense around him was better.
Is he going to, will he get MVP again, you think?
That'd be
they
my
didn't
guess.
Win. I mean, with El Dorado winning the conference, you could.
I've never subscribed to the you have to be on the first place team to be the MVP.
Well, you know, a argument could be made though for like the Price kid, or for probably not Vessel, but certainly the Price kid. You could make an argument.
Yeah,
Price is a pretty good defender too.
Yeah, I mean he was pretty good corner out there.
I don't know.
If I had to vote, and I don't, but. Burner probably MVP. I'd still take Lane as the offensive captain, even though he didn't. You know, Price went up outrunning them. But
yeah. The it's Lawrenceville at Chester. That is tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Also, all these good games starting at 2 o'clock. And who you picking in that one? That Lawrenceville the 9 at Chester the 8. Both teams 7-2, and Chester's loss against El Dorado terrifically close. Their other loss not that close. The Verdon Mac North Mac loss. Who'd Lawrenceville lose to?
Lawrenceville lost to Newton and Marshall. Just coming off the Marshall loss, which actually surprised me. That was 31-0.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that one surprised people because they got the quarterback back a couple weeks ago. Yeah, because he got hurt early in the year, missed 5 or 6 weeks. The Winningham kid, who's as a sophomore, was the starting quarterback, starting catcher, starting point guard. He's a junior this year.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Chester pretty good. I'm going to take the frame of mind that I'm guessing the Lawrenceville Indians have never been to Chester, have never seen Chester. They have no idea how far it is.
I think the mind's going to be blown by the bowl.
Well, it's 3.5. It's going to be a 3.5-hour drive, and it's going to be similar to the Fairfield Tremont deal. Fairfield drives up to Tremont, never had seen them. They get off the bus, and they get blown away pretty quickly, and they make mistakes. And I'm thinking that Lawrenceville is going to make mistakes. I don't think Chester running clocks them, but let's go Chester 35-7.
I'm saying 28-26.
Chester or Lawrenceville?
Well, got my quarter here. Chester.
Chester, all right. Looks like we're both taking
heads with Chester, tails with Lawrenceville. I mean, it's a 50-50 game.
So we've picked the same teams in each game then. We've got El Dorado winning. We both have Chester winning. We've got Johnston City losing.
And we both picked the Mules.
That's exactly right. I did have a question about playoff points and how folks gather playoff points. See if you can explain.
You get a point for every team your opponents win.
Every game, a team that you play has won. Whether it's against you or somebody else,
yes.
You get a point.
You basically
for that.
Add up your opponent's wins. We had 37 this year.
Right.
And then what they do is they figure out the teams with the most points at the end of the year. And then
most points per record. Like
right.
If you're nine and oh and you've only got 20 points, you're still better than an 8-1 team with 40 points.
Right. And then so they figure out who's got the top 255 teams.
Six.
Yeah. 255 wouldn't work, would it?
Well, you'd have somebody to have a bye.
Yeah. But and then after that, then they figure out the classes. They take the –
They just basically – you pour out 256
qualifying teams.
Yeah, you throw that many eight different color balls on the floor, then you separate them all.
Basically, yeah. You take the 32 smallest, that's your 1A.
32 smallest, 32 biggest.
I think they go – Is it bottom to top, smallest to largest?
I believe so.
That's what I'm pretty sure it is.
I believe so. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, it does matter if you when you get with enrollments that are the same.
Right.
But anyway, that's how the playoff points work. Fairfield ended up this year going into week 9 with 32 points, and it was a good thing for the Mules that Tremont won. Tremont won in week 9, so that way Fairfield was able to pick up 5 points.
Yeah, and we finished 30. In a lot of years, 37 does not get you in.
Yeah. Last year it doesn't.
Last year it didn't. 3 years ago it didn't. 2 years ago, I think it would have. We would have been like the last team in.
Right. Right.
So, and then, but yeah, I think it was 35 this year. Did it go down 35 or did it finish at 36?
35.
There weren't many
35. Right. There were like only 3 or 4 teams that got in at 30. Well, you know, Fairfield was out of the 256 teams, the Mules were like 248.
Yeah, I mean, there were 249. Actually.
249. They're in the last set. So, well, you know, good to be there. You got to be in there to be able to do something, don't you?
That's what Coach Downs made the point. You know, there are 300 teams sitting at home right now.
That's right.
You know, everyone's talking about, oh, you drew St. Joe Ogden, the storied program and all that. We're still in the playoffs.
That's right.
Third year in a row. Fairfield hadn't done that very often.
No.
Third time ever that's actually happened.
Is that right?
In a row.
Wow.
We had a 3-year stretch actually when Townsend, Wells,
year stretch,
Ellis.
Yeah, when they were playing.
They all played 94 to 96.
I think they had a 3-year stretch with Reaver, didn't they?
Let's see, when was that? It was 2004 to 2007. They had a 4-year stretch.
Yeah.
Well, and
Luke
then this
Reaver
was,
yeah, Reaver would have been there for that whole set. And Todd West, those teams. So, yeah, a lot of fun at games at 2 o'clock tomorrow. It'll be the we'll start the broadcasting here at 1:45 with the Rush Appliance pregame show here tomorrow on WFIW, also online at WFIWradio.com. Finally. Saved a little time for Rams football. I had a request for us to talk about Rams football.
The St. Louis Gurleys.
The St. Louis Todd Gurleys.
And for once, that's actually not meaning what I would normally have it mean.
How do you like Todd Gurley, huh?
Kid's a stud.
Isn't he fun to watch?
I mean, he's already probably the most fun running back to watch.
Why do you say that?
Speed, power, agility.
You know what I've noticed running backs do this year that I have not seen them doing so much in the past?
Gain yards because you're a Rams fan?
That. But also hurdling people.
Yeah, that's something he's pretty good at.
He hurdles people. There was a quarterback that hurdled a kid last night. Hurdled one of his own players. And I was astonished by that.
One of my favorite Twitter accounts has become the Peisman account.
Yeah, I love the Peisman.
And they had a fat man hurdle the other day on the they tweeted out.
Really?
Had did he score?
Scoop fumble, jumped over one of his own, and then scored.
He did get in.
Like, see, the Heisman is it's a parody account. They played off the Heisman, but it's for fat guy touchdowns.
Who do you follow on Twitter? What's your favorite follow?
I've got like 400.
Well, who do you who do you pay more attention to? Like when I'm doing baseball, when I'm looking at baseball, wanting to know more about baseball, I like Calcaterra. I like the Craig Calcaterra.
Joe Sheehan's my baseball guy.
Oh, is that right?
He's just snarky enough that he fits me.
Yeah, well, that's
basically tells everybody they're wrong.
He must be incredibly snarky. No offense, Matt.
I'm okay with offense. I've learned to accept my role in the world. If you roll with it, you get away with it. Generally,
that's true. That is true. Who on football do you pay more attention? Of course, college football.
It's Spencer Hall.
Yeah,
I mean the SB Nation guys are fantastic.
The ESBD whatever every day
should be Saturday.
EDSBD, yeah. It's him
and Ryan, Celebrity Hot Tub, Ryan Nani. And
you know, the bad deal is the shutdown fullback isn't a video anymore. It's just the shutdown fullback is only on audio.
The highlight of my week on the internet every week is the Spurrier columns SB Nation does on, I can't say the full name, but the Hayton Spurrier.
The Hayton Spurrier columns, or for that matter, the Schadenfreude columns are also very good. The Schadenfreude.
Oh, yeah.
That they do too. Those are a lot of fun. Wheeze, I'm glad you came on today.
It's always fun.
It's we'll see. We hope we're right on all four counts tomorrow, don't you?
Come back next week and preview the Mules week 2 playoff game.
That sounds wonderful. I look forward to it. Folks, thanks for listening to the Bruce Dickey Show today. Be back on Monday. Have a great, great, and safe Halloween weekend. Talk to you soon.